are listening to The Scoreboard here on WSIC. Phone number is 844-STUDIO-4. That's 844-788-3464. Get you on the program, part of the show, anything you'd like to talk about. It's right here. There's some news out there today in the NHL, and it's some long time coming news regarding a certain NHL franchise out west who has tried to make playing in their state work, but contingency plans are being made just in case this team can't remain in their home state. I'll have that for you a little bit later on in the show. Also, big time of the year for high school sports. Baseball is in the middle. And we're going to add a new sport here today. Once we get through the baseball stuff, we are going to update you on women's soccer, as that season is pretty much halfway through, just like baseball is. So we got a lot of high school stuff to cover with you today. Also, regarding the NHL and things going on over there, the Carolina Hurricanes were in action last night. The team that they're chasing in the standings, the New York Rangers, were in action last night. So we will go over those games, talk about what happened, and now the new possible playoff scenarios. Every single day, the playoff scenarios are changing. So we're going to keep you updated here. Got about a week left in the regular season, only about 3 games remaining for all these teams in the league. Everybody jockeying for their playoff seeding. Some people are already firm in their seeding, so we will get to that and let you know what is going on. And if we have time at the end, because we have a lot to go over today, the MLB season is it's a few weeks old now, and we have some teams starting to emerge as better than others. Now we are, I don't know, what, 10? So most of these teams are within 10 to 15 games played out of 162. So our favorite saying in the world, it is still early, very early in the season. So nothing to really be taken away just yet. 844-STUDIO-4, that's 844-788-3464. Let's get you back caught up with the high school baseball scene. Lake Norman was a team that was, it's the only team that wasn't in action last night. They played on Monday. Well, they're back today, coming off of a game where they lost 3-2 to the number 11th ranked team in the state of North Carolina, Cox Mill. Tonight, they take on West Rowan. Now, this is a road game, and West Rowan is nothing to snooze at. Their baseball team is 12-4 right now, 58th in the state of North Carolina. For comparison, Lake Norman currently sitting 90th in the state. So a very good team, but these last two have been hard. And they started the season 1-4, which, you know, not great. But then they had that awesome 9-game winning streak, and they got knocked down a little bit here. But time to get back up and get a win. Game today for Lake Norman, and then they get a rematch against Cox Mill. That one's going to be on the road, though, coming up on Friday. Mooresville baseball was in action last night. I told you they had a chance to start turning their season around a little bit, taking on West Cabarrus High School, who is not having the best year, just like Mooresville, sitting at 3-11 going into this game. Mooresville was able to get the win and drop West Cabarrus to 3-12, where Mooresville continues to try to improve their season, now sitting at 3-14 on the year. And good for them, because later in the week, actually coming up on Friday, they get a rematch against West Cabarrus, where they're going to go on the road and take them on again. Maybe a couple of games in a row that are wins there. Feel good story there for Mooresville. I don't know if they're going to be able to get into the playoffs, but winning always makes you feel good, doesn't it? Moving right along to Statesville High School, I've told you they are just trying to get back on track. They have lost multiple games this year by more than 10 runs. They've given up more double-digit runs in half of their games so far, including last night where they played Hickory High School. Hickory High School has not had the best baseball season. They were 2-10 going into this game. So if Statesville was going to do anything to try and get that first win of the year, I would have thought that this would have been the week to do it. This would have been the day to do it. But unfortunately, last night, Hickory took it to Statesville. That's for sure. They took it to them. Final score, 16-0. This game was over before it really even started. For Statesville, they are not in action tonight. They get back on Friday, where they head on the road to take on East Lincoln. North Iredell was able to get themselves back up to 500. I let you know that they were struggling there for a little bit. They lost 5 of 7 at one point after starting the year pretty decent, but they got 2 wins in a row right now. Remember, before spring break, they beat Ford High School 5-4 in 11 innings. Now they get back-to-back wins here, and it's a little bit of a break there, like a week and a half in between wins. But nonetheless, it is their second win of the row in a row. And this one coming against North Lincoln. Now, North Lincoln, a team that is supposed to be pretty good. They were 10-3 going into that game last night, but North Iredell just a little bit better, able to get themselves back up to 500. Now, they did play on back-to-back days, so they're going to be playing again tonight. It'll be on the road against St. Stephen's, as this will be game 2 of a quick 3-game road trip for North Iredell. West Iredell is having a tough year. They took on East Lincoln last night. Lost 11-1. The season isn't a wash just yet, but they're getting awfully close, sitting at 4-8 on the year. Now, they have another game tonight against Hickory High School. And look, we just talked about Hickory. That's a team where you might be able to get your season back on track. And West Iredell really needs to get back on track here. At 4-8, they're not going to be making the playoffs. But if they go on a nice run to end the year, they might be knocking on the door. So it's time to turn the season around, and no better time to do that than against a team like Hickory tonight. This game is at home for West Iredell at 7 o'clock, so we'll see. Hopefully, they're able to turn things around. And the last baseball team that we're going to talk about is South Iredell High School. South Iredell was in action last night. Man, they had a great start to the season, and then they lost 4 of 5. But against A.L. Brown last night at home, they were able to get back on track with an 11-7 win, boosting their record to 9-6 now, as tonight they are back in action, going on the road this time against Forbush. 7 o'clock is that game. South Iredell, one of the better teams in the area. We're going to wrap up the baseball talk. I want to talk a little bit of women's soccer when we get back from the break, because there's a couple of teams doing pretty good that are going to be a problem come playoff time. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this on the Scoreboard.
More of Sports Director Joe Berg's The Scoreboard is coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Now more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It is the second segment here on the Scoreboard, 844 Studio 4. Get you into the studio. Part of the show, we'll talk about anything. I could be in the middle of talking about water polo. You can ask me something else, you know. I don't know if is water polo in the Olympics? Maybe we'll talk some water polo. I know the Olympics are coming up, but I'm more of a fan of the Winter Olympics. Mostly because you know how I am. I like my hockey. And sending NHL players to the Olympics, Whew, that's one of the best decisions the NHL has made in quite some time, if you ask me. Anyway, we are not up to the NHL just yet. We are going to get into it because there is a lot of news that's going on over there, including a possible relocation that's coming up. But right now, we want to get into the high school sports and continue on with that because we've kind of not been neglecting, just in passing mentioning that, hey, women's soccer is going on in high school. And now is the time to kind of get you caught up to speed with what's going on around the area. So starting the same way we always do, we're going to make our way up north throughout everywhere, starting down south at Lake Norman High School. That women's team currently sitting at 6-5, coming off of a loss last night against Cox Mill on the road. But at 6-5, that's not terrible because for the conference, they sit at 3-1. That's good enough to get them third in that 4A Greater Metro Conference. They got Mooresville and the team they just lost to, Cox Mill, in front of them. Speaking of Mooresville, the women's soccer team there, who are they having a year? Ranked 31st in the state of North Carolina. They currently sit at 8-2, and they just came off a game on Tuesday where they won 9-0. Nine! They put in nine! In a soccer game! They put in nine goals, and it's nothing new to them. They put in nine the week before against A.L. Brown, and earlier in the year, they put in eight on the road against Mallard Creek. So Mooresville's women's soccer is something to keep an eye on as we progress through the spring sports. They are on a heater right now. Now, their next game is coming up on Friday. They take on South Iredell, and they got a home game against them. I'm expecting this team to do good things once we get to the playoffs. But we got a while to go. Last game of the regular season is scheduled for that second week of May. So we got plenty of time until we get there. Moving right along to Statesville High School. And man, the spring sports over there are just not what they're looking forward to, honestly. The women's soccer team, 0-6 right now. 0-4 in conference. And let me tell you, they've really been struggling. They've given up nine goals in a lot of their games here. They've given up nine in five of the six games. The only game where they didn't give up nine was against East Wilkes earlier in the year. They lost that one 3-2. But every other game for Statesville has been 9-0. Yeah, you heard me right. All five. 9-0 losses. So tough season for the women's soccer team at Statesville. I'm going to be honest, I don't think this is a season that's going to get turned around. I think this is a season where they're just going to say, can we win a game, please? And they're looking to win a game for the first time in a while. Last time that the women's soccer team at Statesville won a game, it was April the 19th, 2022. Yes, it's been a while. So I'm not sure if they're going to turn the season around, but maybe they'll be able to get another win and not go winless like last year, but that's yet to be seen. North Iredell, their women's soccer team, sits at 500 right now, 2-2 in the division, and it's just kind of been a streaky year. You know, they've won a game, and then they lost two, and then they won three, and then they lost one. And they just can't seem to get a rhythm going, which is why they're sitting right at 500. Not only 500 overall, but also 500 in the conference. They sit at 2-2, good enough for fourth in the Western Foothills 3A conference. So maybe they'll be able to go on a run here a little bit later in the year. Plenty of time to do that. And it could start tonight against St. Stephen's as North Iredell is on the road against them. St. Stephen's, they are 3-3. So sitting kind of in the same boat here as North Iredell, just not able to get any momentum going on the year. So a good chance for North Iredell to get a win. And if they do, it'll be number one to start a streak, but it's better than losing 1-0 like they did against North Lincoln last night. West Iredell, kind of like the baseball team, sitting just under 500 at 3-5. Started the year off great, winning two in a row, but as of late, not great. They've lost five of their last six games. Still plenty of season left, and they continue tonight at home against Hickory High School. So hopefully that women's team is able to get a win. The thing is, Hickory, they're a really good team this year on the women's soccer team. 36th in the state of North Carolina, 9-3-1. Yes, there was a tie, 9-3-1 currently on the year. So we'll see what happens in that one. And then there's South Iredell, who sits also at 500, right at 3-3, and in the conference also 500. So a lot of teams just hovering at mediocrity is what we like to call it when you're right around the 500 mark. With a chance for South Iredell to turn things around a little bit later in the week. Like I said earlier, they take on Mooresville this Friday. It's going to be a tough game, but they are coming off of back-to-back 3-0 shutouts, so we'll see what happens. Maybe South Iredell turns things around here and starts going on a run. But like I said, Mooresville, running into that Mooresville women's soccer team, I wouldn't want to play them. 30th in the state, running through every team they play. It's going to be an uphill battle for South Iredell. But that is the wrapping up of your local high school sports for the day, covering baseball. We just talked about women's soccer. We're going to add something else into the mix tomorrow, just kind of rotate it around best we can, because I know there's a lot going on right now. And as always, if you know somebody who's playing and you know somebody who had a really good game last night or earlier, or you want to shout somebody out who's playing today, call the Scoreboard. That's what we're here for. 844-STUDIO-4, and we'll make sure to shout out anybody that you want who's playing high school sports in the listening area. But with wrapping up that, we now move on to some other stories and other things going on around the world of sports. I wanted to bring this up yesterday. We didn't talk about this, but John Calipari, Kentucky basketball head coach no more. He signed a 5-year, $7 million contract. $7 million a year, by the way. So it's more like 7 years. I'm sorry. 5 years, $35 million total. $7 million a year with the Arkansas Razorbacks. So Coach Calipari, after getting bounced in round one by Oakland, moves on from Kentucky basketball, and he will be with the Arkansas Razorbacks. I don't know what that's really all about. I know they haven't had all that much success in the last few years, but Coach Calipari's not terrible. He just needs to update his ways a little bit. You know, the one and done is no longer the way of college basketball. Maybe a new location will be better for him. And, you know, I don't really have a say in this. It's just kind of what's going on. And Coach Calipari is a very big name in college basketball, but he's moving on. He's going to Arkansas. I didn't see it coming. I don't think anybody did. I heard rumors that he could possibly be moving on, but, you know, you had a good season. I know we talked about they were streaky during the year, and it had to do with the youth on the team. Like, they were one of the youngest teams out there, so it's understandable. I didn't think that he would get kicked out or decide to leave because of his early exit, but hey, that's what happened. Coach Calipari moving on from Kentucky, heading over to Arkansas. That's the big news going on in college basketball. Kind of the fallout from the NCAA tournament. Nothing else falling out from that tournament yet. I mean, we have the WNBA draft coming up in a couple of weeks. It's actually not even a couple of weeks. Coming up on Monday at this point. It's next week where we highly expect Caitlin Clark to be the number one pick. I'm wondering what the ratings on that are going to be like, because drafts are very hit and miss. You know, the NFL draft is a spectacle. Everybody's going to tune into that. But baseball, they do their draft in the middle of the season. It's a little weird if you ask me. Nobody really tunes into that. At least it's not appointment viewing for that, where you're like, I got to sit down and watch the MLB draft. It is for football. I got to sit down and watch the NFL draft. Sounds right. Yeah. Are we going to hear, I got to go watch the WNBA draft? That's where I start to question things. And the momentum with women's basketball is good right now. I want it to transfer to the WNBA. I don't know if it will. I hope it does, but we'll see. We got Monday, the draft coming up. It's going to be at 7:30, so We'll see what happens there. Obviously, we know Caitlin Clark's going to be the first overall pick, going to go play in Indiana. But what else happens? I don't know. And that's the thing. Caitlin Clark, yeah, she's the name, but do you know what else is going on in the WNBA? Who else the big names are in the WNBA? Exactly. It's going to change soon. It's going to take a little bit of time, but things are changing. Hey, we're halfway through the show today. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of NASCAR. And then to wrap things up, we're going to get into the NHL. A lot of stories coming out of the NHL today, so I want to get into that. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Scoreboard. We're back after this.
This guy knows his sports, right? There's more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg on the way on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Talk sports with Joe Berg. Call 844-STUDIO-4. It's The Scoreboard on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Everyone, welcome back. It is now halfway through The Scoreboard. Call me up, 844-STUDIO-4. That's 844-788-3464. Anything at all that you'd like to talk about, I'll help you out with it. I don't know if I have all the answers, but we can chat. It never hurts. So the NASCAR Cup Series is moving on to Texas Motor Speedway, one of the, least enthusiastic races of the year, I guess is the best way to say that. Maybe. Not many people are a fan of this racetrack. It was repaved a few years ago, and honestly, since then, it hasn't been a good place to race. A lot of single-file racing. And this car doesn't help that track. The car is hard to pass in general. And when you take horsepower away, it's more about the momentum. So if you try to pass somebody on the inside, you gas it up. Well, you can't really get the throttle down because there's somebody on your outside. They get the runoff. You file right back in behind. And this continues for about 15 laps until you finally pass one car. That's what we have to look forward to this weekend. I got to be honest, I'm not the biggest fan of Texas. I'm not. I wish that, and I'm glad we don't go there twice. Let me make that perfectly clear. Boy, if we went there twice, not fun. That's all I'll say. But we got to deal with this track. After this, a lot better schedule coming up. So here is the weekend outlook. Starting on Friday, we're going to have truck qualifying and Xfinity qualifying, following that up with a night race at Texas on Friday night for the truck series, the SpeedyCash.com 250. Saturday morning, we're going to have NASCAR qualifying. 11:20 is when qualifying scheduled for. And then at 1:30, the Xfinity series will be racing the Andy's Frozen Custard 300. And then on Sunday at 3:30, you have the Cup Series making their way to the big stage. The Auto Trader, Echo Park, Automotive 400 starts at 3:30. You can listen to that race right here on WSIC. Coverage starting at 2:30 by PRN this week. That is the Performance Racing Network. So we got a little bit of previewing to do here for Texas. I want to bring a little bit of driver audio into the program because I do have some. We heard yesterday, actually, I played a little bit of audio from Ross Chastain about the difficulty of the racetrack that we're going to on Sunday. Let's now hear from Ryan Blaney, your former Cup Series, your defending Cup Series champion. Here's what Blaney has to say about what the biggest challenge is that Texas Motor Speedway presents.
To me, like, what makes Texas interesting is the commitment level that the driver has to have going to that place. Like, your commitment level through 3 and 4 is just huge. And that, to me, is always a pretty fun aspect of that racetrack. You know, the racing side of it, out of it, okay, it's narrow, whatever. But, like, driving that place, very different corners, you really have to be fully on the throttle and convince yourself that this car is going to stick when you get into turn 3, even though if you don't know if it's going to or not. So, yeah, we'll see. But hopefully it's miraculously aged to where we've somehow been able to get 5 lanes there. But we'll find out next week.
And that's the thing that I want to talk about with this racetrack. And Ryan Blaney puts it perfectly. It is a wide racetrack. It is one of the widest racetracks that we go to on the season. But for some reason, there's only one racing line. You can't make any time anywhere else. I'm not a NASCAR engineer. I don't know how to fix this. But I do know that the track's messed up. And when you have the drivers subtly complaining, I call that a subtle complaint from Ryan Blaney. He is joking and laughing and saying, yeah, maybe somehow this track is aged and we're going to have multiple grooves that we can race in. Just wait. We're going to see the restart. They might get 3 wide for a minute and then 5 laps into the run. Single file, because you can't run anywhere. And the other thing about this car is not only can you, at Texas, only run one lane, you can't follow people in these cars. You get into that dirty air and it just kills your momentum. So I don't know what kind of race I'm expecting on Sunday, but I do know that it's not going to be the best race of the season. I'd love to be proven wrong, because if I am, hey, props to Texas Motor Speedway for putting on a show. But I don't have high hopes. And I don't think that the quote from Ryan Blaney there gives anybody else high hopes. Let's hear it one more time. This is Ryan Blaney on challenges that Texas presents.
To me, like, what makes Texas interesting is the commitment level that the driver has to have going to that place. Like, your commitment level through 3 and 4 is just huge. And that, to me, is always a pretty fun aspect of that racetrack. You know, the racing side of it, out of it, okay, it's narrow, whatever. But, like, driving that place, very different corners, you really have to be fully on the throttle and convince yourself that this car is going to stick when you get into turn 3, even though if you don't know if it's going to or not. So, yeah, we'll see. But hopefully it's miraculously aged to where we've somehow been able to get 5 lanes there. But we'll find out next week.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a driver that's confident in the racetrack they're going to this weekend. It's just me, though. That's just my opinion. You know, I'm just one person. I'm just here talking to the void, as I always am. 844-STUDIO-4, that's the phone number. Get you into the program. Anything you want to talk about, we could chat about it. Maybe you're interested in why Texas is terrible. You know it's bad when NASCAR.com has an article titled, "What is Dirty Air? NASCAR Previews Texas." That's bad. That's not good. You should not be promoting the dirty air that's caused by these race cars. It's bad. Give them the horsepower. I'll yell about this forever until I can stop. Give the drivers the horsepower, and let's move on to other things that need to be fixed with NASCAR, because there's plenty that we need to get to. And the easiest fix to instantly, and I do mean instantly, we've heard from drivers in the past that they could come to the race next weekend with 1,000 horsepower if they were given the go-ahead. Nobody's struggling for horsepower. So if you want the racing to improve and you want it to improve next week, give them the horsepower. Then start working on the body of these cars. Because not only are they ugly, but they race terribly. They look nothing like a stock car. It looks like a Hot Wheels car almost. It really does. Like, take a good look at how boxy those race cars are. They're not as boxy as the COTs. The original with the wing, with that terrible splitter. Those were some boxy race cars. I'm just not a fan of the car. I'm not a fan of the package. The track is probably the biggest thing. Well, we'll see. Maybe they put on a good show. I mean, it is the most professional drivers in the world, right? And honestly, the truck and Xfinity race might be more entertaining because those guys can't control their cars. Martinsville was an embarrassment for the trucks and for Xfinity. The trucks have been an embarrassment since a while, since Phoenix of last year, really. I don't know if that'll ever change. One more segment. We're going to get into the NHL. We have news breaking here, left and right. I got a lot of information coming to me, so we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. 844-STUDIO-4. That's 844-788-3464. Get you onto the program. One segment remaining. We're back after this.
More of Sports Director Joe Berg's The Scoreboard is coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. It's The Scoreboard with your host, Sports Director Joe Berg, on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Everyone, one more segment here on The Scoreboard, 844-STUDIO-4. It'll get you into the program. Anything you want to talk about. We're going to get into the NHL right now. Lots going on. Lots of news in the NHL. So earlier today, Frank Seravelli, who is a writer for the Daily Faceoff, it's an NHL news outlet, posted this. Sources: NHL Arizona Coyotes working on agreement to sell and relocate to Salt Lake City. This is not a joke. I am not lying about this. If you've been following the NHL over the past 5 years or so, you would know that even longer than that, really since Arizona's been in the NHL, they have had continuous problems with the arena that they're in, the city that they're in, nobody wanting to host their stadium, to the point where right now they're playing at Arizona State University. Mullet Arena, as it's called. Not even an NHL stadium. So this news isn't shocking to me. It isn't. We know that the NHL has been very adamant about keeping the Coyotes in Arizona. And there is a little bit of a contingency or so to this. The owner of the Arizona Coyotes has announced that he is trying to win a bid for land in Arizona, in Phoenix, where they can build a massive sports complex, and they would host the Coyotes. But they have to win a land auction in June. Now, if that doesn't happen, the NHL has prepared a backup plan. And here's the backup plan. The Arizona Coyotes would be sold. Yes, sold. To the owners of the Utah Jazz. That would be Ryan and Ashley Smith. And this isn't out of nowhere. I think it was reported, it was a couple of months ago or so, that it was reported the Utah Jazz owners were interested in bringing an NHL franchise to Salt Lake City. And it's not like it's outlandish that that could happen. We have basketball in Salt Lake. Why not? They already have an arena to play in. They just got to put the ice in there, right? So this is something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. But I think this is a done deal. I do. I don't think we're going to have the Phoenix or the Arizona Coyotes anymore. So here is the news that broke today. The NHL, and this is what started this. It was reported by the Daily Faceoff and Frank Seravelli, great reporter for the NHL. The NHL has prepared a backup option that includes preparing two schedules for next season, one involving the Coyotes in Arizona and another one for a team in Utah. Notice how it says a team in Utah. If this happens, if the Arizona Coyotes are sold and move to Utah, we're talking new branding. They would not be the Coyotes anymore. Obviously, they wouldn't be Arizona or Phoenix or anything. It'd either be the Salt Lake or the Utah. I think Salt Lake would probably sound better for a hockey team rather than the Utah something. What would you call a hockey team from Utah? I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything. So that'll be interesting to see what happens with this. I fully expect for the Coyotes not to be in Arizona next year. So announcement on the relocation could come as soon as this month. The NHL may be trying to push this thing along. We might not even get to June where the owner of the Arizona Coyotes is trying to win that land auction. And he's been looking to sell. I mean, it's not news that it's not crazy to think that he would sell. It's been a thought in the past here that not only would he want to sell, but that the NHL would want him to sell the team. And this isn't an Oakland A's situation. It's not. It's Arizona hasn't been good for a while. And when you're not good, nobody shows up. And when nobody shows up, your team's not bringing in sales. And when your team's not bringing in sales, you're going to have trouble, right? We went through this with the Hurricanes pre-2019 or 2018, I believe. I think it was 16, 17, right around that area. We were hearing reports of the NHL may move the Carolina Hurricanes. They might get moved. Why? Because they were bad and nobody was showing up. All of a sudden, Carolina turns it around. They have a good team. They start winning. They go to a conference finals. They make the playoffs year after year, and now that's one of the most full buildings in the league day after day. Winning does cure all, but Arizona and the Coyotes, they haven't won, right? They haven't. And even when they were winning, they still had problems. So I do expect for the Coyotes to be a team that's going to be relocated here soon. It would be the first relocation in a while for the NHL. Other notable ones, I guess the most notable recent one for this area would be the Atlanta Thrashers getting moved back to Winnipeg, which wasn't that long ago. And then they became the second version of the Winnipeg Jets. But we haven't had, I don't think we've had an NHL team in Utah before. So it'll be interesting to see what they decide to name that team once we get there. Things going on around the league. Last night, there were some important games for the Hurricanes involving not only them in a game, but also the New York Rangers, who are in front of them, and other teams in the wild card race that could possibly play the Hurricanes. So last night, Carolina was able to win 4-1 against the Boston Bruins on the road. A huge win for them as they avenged that loss a couple of weeks ago against Boston. Whereas the New York Rangers, the team that they're playing, lost to the New York Islanders. And the Islanders currently sit at the 3 seed in the Metropolitan Division. They get 2 more points last night. That has not solidified them in the 3 seed by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, there's still a lot of games left. 3 games is a lot. I'm just going to let you know right now. 3-4 games, it's a lot. So right now, the Islanders are the 3 seed by 2 points over the Washington Capitals and 3 points over the Penguins, the Red Wings, and 4 points over the Flyers. Now, the Red Wings only are competing for that wild card 2 spot. We went over this yesterday, but things are starting to take shape here. 4 games left for most of these teams. The Rangers and the Hurricanes both only have 3 remaining games, but we'll see where things go here. Right now, Carolina would play those New York Islanders as they're the 3 seed, but the Washington Capitals, Pittsburgh Penguins, and Philadelphia Flyers all still have a chance at the 3 seed in the Metro. Last night, we eliminated the New Jersey Devils and the Buffalo Sabres. Those two teams will not be participating in the playoffs in the NHL this year. Better luck next year. So this is going to be a race to the end here, and we're not going to know who Carolina is going to face until the last day of the season. Who knows? I mean, the Rangers lost and Carolina won last night. That means right now, Carolina is 3 points behind the Rangers with 6 points still available for both teams. It's not out of the question to think that Carolina could win all three. The Rangers could stumble a little bit, and in the last week of the season, Carolina steals the division. If that happens, we already went over it. Carolina would play wild card two, who right now is the Washington Capitals. The only team that I wouldn't want to play are the Pittsburgh Penguins. Something about their run here in the second half of the year after trading Gensel away and getting Michael Bunting, who scored a huge, huge goal against Tampa Bay a few days ago. Whew. I wouldn't want to play that. I wouldn't want to play them. Let's get into some This Day in Sports History as we wind down the show. On this day, a little baseball news and a little bit of golf news as well as, hey, this weekend we have the Masters. Don't forget about that. 1913, the New York Highlanders played their first MLB game as the New York Yankees. They lost to the Washington Senators 2-1 at Griffith Stadium. President Woodrow Wilson threw out the first pitch in that game. Also, on this day, 1964, we lost a monument. Demolition begins in Upper Manhattan on the Polo Ground Sports Stadium, which was the home to the MLB Giants, Mets, and the NFL Jets. That demolition cleared the way for a housing project. Of course it did. And finally, 2005, Tiger Woods won his fourth green jacket on the first hole of a playoff with Chris DeMarco. That is what went on this day in sports history. Thanks everyone for tuning in today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, covering all the sports that you need and giving you the information that matters. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Until then, have a good night, everyone.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.